Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to what could be the last ever episode of the 1871 podcast. That's not a definite. It's a possible that we might be doing more episodes, but this could be the last ever one. So with that in mind, we've got some special guests and co-hosts. So firstly, it's myself, Mark Roach, your host. And we've also got our ever reliable and very knowledgeable about Reading FC co-host, Johnny Hunt. So hello, Johnny.
Evening. How are we?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, good, good. I just have to say, chuck in the cricket there from yesterday. What a great series,
okay.
The Ashes
cricket,
was.
Cricket
moving
chat.
On.
Anyway, moving on. So the other occasional co-host that we've got is Eunan Carr, who's on the call. Hello, Eunan. How are you?
Hello. Hi, everyone. Yeah, all good. Thanks.
And we've also got the 1871 podcast official super fan, Alex Blissett. Hello, Alex. How are you?
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm very good. Very good. And this one deserves a song. One of our favourite Reading songs of all time. We've also got one of our favourite Reading players of all time, our co-host Dylan Kerr. So let's do it, a sing song. Dylan, you can join in. Dylan Kerr, Dylan Kerr,
Dylan Kerr, absolutely rubbish. Take that, eat your heart out.
There he is.
I'm just not used to him getting cut off, Mark. That's the problem. He usually gets cut off by now because he hasn't paid electricity bill, is he? So, you know.
Yeah, no excuse being as you're in England now. I don't know if it's any different. England, all right, so Dylan, how are you?
I'm good. You know, it's been a while. Been back just over 2 months. Well, I think this is my second month back in the UK. First time in 5 years I've actually had time to put my life into perspective and sort a few things out, both here in England and in Scotland. I've been to see Depeche Mode twice, once at the Stade de France and one at the Olympic Stadium in Berlin. I've actually got my tickets to go and see them in New York in, I think, January. So everything's been good and just looking forward to the football season starting.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see Depeche Mode next week in Norway, in Oslo. So we've got a few of the cities covered there. And someone I know has just seen them in, I think they've just played in Poland or about to play in Poland. So, obviously we're 80s music fans, Depeche Mode fans, Heaven 17 fans, etc. So, Dylan, look, just have a quick chat with you before we get started on all things Reading. What are your plans? Anything in the pipeline? You know, what does the future look like for you at the moment?
Nothing really. I got offered 4 jobs: one in Rwanda, one in Botswana, and 2 in South Africa. And I said, you know, I wanted to put my life into a bit of a balance and. I turned those down. There's been a couple of inquiries, one from America, one from Egypt. But we'll see where they came to. Apart from that, you know, I've just been, like I said, I've been playing golf. I've been seeing friends, you know, in Scotland, in England. And I'm just trying to get a lot of things sorted out just in case, you know, mad September comes and, you know, the sackings start and coaches looking for work. And obviously, Africa's been where I've been for the majority of my career as a coach. But I'd like to stay in the UK. I think if the opportunity is to come, which there's not really many now, obviously because the season's ready to start. But if the right opportunity in academy football, in youth football, in semi-professional football, whatever opportunity they might come, you know, then I'll seriously try and stay here. But you can never say never. There's going to be options coming up in Africa. I think I've done in South Africa, if I'm honest, Johnny. Sorry, Mark. Just saw Johnny's face there. And I just think, yeah, I think it's time now to come back. So I've been gone nearly 12 out of 14 years. I've had 8 months at Chesterfield, 10 months at Burton Albion. But the majority have been out of the country. So out of sight, out of mind, you know, it happens. So I'm hoping that this weekend I'm going to see some good people at Sheffield Wednesday. I'm going to see Barnsley and I'm going to see Leeds this weekend. So I say, you know, when people know that you're around, people start to talk. So I'm not saying that it's going to get me anything, but you never know. Maybe. Something, you know, might wake up a few people's interest.
Yeah, and you said that you're looking for hopefully some opportunities to come up. We all know that someone's getting sacked within the first month of the season, so you never know. It might happen, might have an opportunity come up for you. But also, you did get on the radar for Reading, didn't you? You got on the first shortlist for potential managers in consideration, but didn't go any further than that. Tell me sort of how you found out about that. What happened?
I mean, it's, how many times I've actually tried to get a job at Reading with the academy, with the 21s, and it's never happened. And, you know, for I do know the agent that they used to, or I don't know if they still got, used to have a big say in who came to Reading, both as a player, as a coach, as a manager. And this time I applied and I was told by my agent that I'd made the shortlist in the cut-off group, which, you know, to be fair, it was a really, really good feeling, because the jobs I have applied for in this country, even in Scotland as well, in Wales, in England, even in Northern Ireland, you never get a reply. You never get any positivity. I do know whether it's true or not, Mark Bowen did kind of like my CV, and he acknowledged the work I'd done in my football career, both here and in Africa. And yeah, it was a nice feeling. Obviously, I spoke to Chris Wilder. He was very, very heavily linked, and he, to be fair, he kept his cards close to his chest. He never said yes. He never said no. And the reason I called him, because I thought he might have, I heard the rumour he was at Reading when I was there. And I thought it would have been good if you were seriously interested in Reading, then I could, you know, give him my 10 penneth on what Reading Football Club means to the fans, means to the town. And, you know, so, yeah, for me, it was a nice honour. And unfortunately, I didn't get to that interview stage. But who knows, maybe one day. I'm not going to give it up, Mark. I'm not going to give it up.
All right, good stuff. Well, quite possibly the last ever episode of the 1871 podcast. So let's chat about all things Reading. And Johnny, I'm going to come to you. Obviously, we had the episode last week. So all of a sudden, we're doing a one-off episode, a bit like the start of Series 2. You know, we said we'd do a one-off episode with Brian McDermott. All of a sudden, we're doing Series 2. And I think at one point, we were doing episodes most days. Sometimes it was a few days in a row, wasn't it? Yeah. I think what will happen this time is we might do the odd episode here and there, but you know, maybe it's going to be like Fawlty Towers, one of the greatest comedies of all time, only did two series. Maybe it's going to be like that. Who knows? But, Johnny, we did have a chat last week about the goings on at Reading. Obviously, you know, they played a friendly against Thatcham. I think that was a Reading 11. But in terms of the first team, lost all the pre-season games, lost 4-0 at home to Swansea. And I don't even know if we've got enough players, have we? I mean, what are your thoughts, Johnny, about the state of play ahead of the season?
It seems like it was a car crash. Now I heard over the weekend there may be another dodgy owner coming on board, possibly some in America, some franchise. It's horrible. It's still horrible. It's still toxic. We're a week away from the start of the season. We haven't got a squad or a team. We were supposed to have a reset over the summer, and we're in a bigger mess than we were. We're under embargoes again for not paying wages, tax, whatever you want to call it, because the owner's issues in China, possibly. Sell Before We Die campaigns started up between all the fan groups. Sit-down protest after the game next week against Peterborough. Hopefully that, you know, people need to stand up and make a difference. It's still toxic. We thought, you know, when we've talked over the last couple of series about what's going on at Reading, that maybe things will improve. But we kind of picked it that, you know, the owners lost interest after we got relegated down to League One. And there we are. And it's, you know, even the guys we've signed, they're now talking about being unregistering them because of all the stuff that's going on. It's just an absolute shambles. But all we want, all I want, and I'm sure everyone else wants, is just our club to exist. That's the only thing I want out of all of this, you know, and having decent people in charge. And we'll see what happens day by day. That's all we can live for.
Yeah, and obviously the transfer embargo, and I think there's only four new players signed from what I understand. Your understanding, Johnny, and you touched on it there about potential deregistering or whatever it's called of players. Savage is one. It's an interesting one who's come in. Charlie Savage from Man United. But look, we're just short of players, aren't we? And I think you said your aim is that we actually get to play the first game of the season. But, you know, what's your take in terms of what the manager said after the last game? You know, he was talking about being 10 players short. Do you think, I mean, I saw someone on social media say that if this manager keeps us up in League One, it's going to be a miracle the way things are going. Is that how you're feeling about it?
Yeah, he's coming and taking the job on, which no one else probably would do in the circumstances. So we have to get behind him and the players that we've got, you know, whatever players we have. Whatever, you know, hopefully something will change this week. The embargo gets lifted until next month's embargo comes in when we don't pay the wages. We get six players in on contracts over this next week and we go again. And then next month it happens again. But we have to get behind the team. Like the protests are against the owner. The protests are against the way the club's run. It's not against a guy who's just coming in to do a job that he can. And the guys that are playing for us, you know, they're going to do their best for the team. So we need to support them even more than we've done in the past, because I think one of the lads that was at the game on Saturday spoke to some of the players. And, like, you know, so you're going to have to get behind the young players, the younger players in this club, because that's what we have to rely on this season. So we need to do that. So we need to make sure that we need to stay up and we need to be positive and help the team out. The protest stuff is a different issue. So, that, you know, they're two different things, you know?
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest worrying factors for Reading is we're talking about needing new players. We've got our first game on Saturday, and Eunan, I want to come to you now. So just want to gauge your thoughts. You, like myself, like Johnny, you've been a Reading fan for many years. You were born, you You started off living pretty much right next to the ground at Elm Park, didn't you? And we've seen a lot of ups and downs going back to the 80s and, you know, the great team under Mark McGee in the 90s and then the 106 season. But the last few years hasn't been good. And this is kind of the worst it's been as a Reading fan, possibly, you know, in your memory as well. What are your thoughts about the state of play with Reading as things stand?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it has been grim before. I mean, going back to my earliest memories, it was pretty tough. Morris Evans and the contract, you know, and before our time where you heard like Eamon Dunphy and contract issues with players that will always be there, won't it? But, I mean, this situation, you've got to say, we've got unanswered questions, which isn't good enough. And so there's a protest. But if the club had come out and said, you know, the HMRC situation, how can that be an issue with the playing side? It's a tax bill and the operational side is Chinese, you know, currency problems coming across. Why would you move money across at this stage with currency being down? So, if it's Dai Young's problem that he hasn't got associates over here to go, right, that's fine, your money's good over there, we'll fund it and pay it and clear that problem. Because the embargo, it doesn't, if it's not a football situation, it's like last season with the 6 points, we're getting docked. But is it an issue with the transfers, the contracts? That's a playing issue. That's unfair. Got the points. But a tax bill, which is a commercial situation, an economic situation, why embargo us? Why? But the club needs to come out and answer those questions with the journalists. Not, you know, Sellers was put in front of the press and he's saying, yeah, I've had reassurances. But, you know, there's a massive organisation here now. They should be coming out and having a press conference and there won't be a protest then because they'll answer our questions.
And I think Union, you touched on it there, and Johnny talked about it. We all think it's a problem with the club as a whole. You look back to Sir John Medeski's time in control; the club was run properly. He would have never let it get to this stage. You know, you should not even have to think about if the players are going to get paid on time and that sort of thing. You should be able to take that for granted. Unfortunately, that's the situation we're in. And Alex, I want to come to you now. Talk about your thoughts about the club. And I know actually, you know, Johnny's kind of been talking about Reading in a negative way. Union's kind of touched on the problems with the club. But I know you're actually looking forward to the start of the season. You're kind of a positive voice in a way. So what are your thoughts about the state of the club at the moment?
Well, it's been so depressing. It's the not knowing has been the worst. And then they'll leak little bits and then you've got your friends sending you tweets and stuff like that. But it's the poor communication. And I mean, this is people's like club, their life they're messing with. And they need to understand that. I mean, admittedly this Dai Young thing, get him out, is good and I understand where people are coming from, but who's gonna want to take us on? Because yeah, no, I was at the ground on Saturday, this Swansea game, and the feel around the ground wasn't nice. It was all a bit half-assed by Reading's point of view, sort of, even just with, like, the catering side of things and buying a hot dog and a beer and all, it was all done very, very poorly.
But, Alex, I did introduce you as being someone who's quite positive, because you did say to me, you're looking forward to the season, so has that changed?
Was that before Saturday?
I don't know. I can't remember. But you said...
I'm looking forward to it.
Mark, can I just... Alex, I've got a text message that he sent me on Saturday after the Swansea game. Nah, I've never known... He's not positive at all.
Yeah, that could be it then, the game. And look, Dylan, I'll come back to you now. You're the only one of us that's actually played for Reading, player of the season in the Hall of Fame, you know, Reading legend. You got your own Reading song. It doesn't get a lot better than that. but you're still a Reading fan. You still want the club to do well. What's your take? And you've been a manager. You've had problems at other clubs in South Africa with non-payment and things like that. What's your take on where things have gone wrong for Reading?
I just can't believe how it's gone downhill since the Russians bought it and since Sir John left. I mean, you know, they've got an amazing stadium. I mean, my social media is all about Elm Park. You know, there's never anything that's about the Medeski or whatever the stadium's called now. The Reading fans still, you know, just talk about Elm Park. There's so many memories that come from that. And I'm just bewildered, you know, that how a club, how an owner can let his club be in a position where they keep getting points docked, they keep getting transfer embargoes, they keep not paying players. I just feel sorry, and I feel the fans are being cheated because, like all three of them have said, you know, there's no communication. Nobody knows where they are at the moment. Nobody knows where they're going at the moment. And as you said earlier on, if they stay up, it's going to be a miracle. That shouldn't be in Reading's vocabulary, staying up. You know, it should be, let's challenge for promotion. Look at this stadium. Look at these football fans that, you know, through all the worrying times last year, still kept coming to the home games and, you know, still kept supporting them away. And it's just frightening. And, I mean, I look at Wrexham. You know, they've got two Hollywood legends that have taken over the club and have taken them to a different level. The expectation of that football club is on a different plane. It's like, it's frightening. Everybody you speak to now knows who Wrexham are and knows, you know, what they're trying to achieve. And I'm looking at Reading Football Club, my former club, where I have so many great memories, made so many good friends, not knowing, you know, if they're gonna exist anymore. I mean, you know, but there's no clarity. There's no what's the word? It's nobody's talking. Nobody's telling anybody. Like Union says, nobody's telling anybody. You know, where are we going to go from here? What's the direction? And is it going to be for the better?
And Dylan, what are your thoughts? Do you think that Reading need a new owner? Is the owner the problem? What do you think needs to happen for things to start moving in a positive direction?
I don't know the owner. I don't know the owner. I just think, you know, there must be a business model, must be a business plan. There must be something. You can't lose money at a football club. So John Medeski never lost money at Reading Football Club when I was there, you know, and you know, he was transparent with everything he did, with the people that were involved. You know, they had a good board of directors. Is there a board of directors at Reading Football Club? Is Mr. Dye the owner? You know, and Johnny say they're doing a sit-down protest. You know, fantastic. You know, I think that's brilliant, but I mean, what's he going to achieve? You know, I don't know. I'm with Union. I don't know where Reading Football Club stand at the moment. You know, are they going to survive? Are they going to be docked points? You know, the transfer embargo. Johnny Sain signed six players now. Who's going to want to come to Reading Football Club? What big name footballer wants to come to a football club where there's an uncertainty? And you cannot. We used to turn up for training, wanting to train. We used to turn up for training, knowing that we were going to get something out of training, knowing that we could have some banter and we could have some fun and we could have a laugh and wind people up and, you know, nail football boots to the wall. You know, if somebody came in some new clothes, we'd cut them all up and, you know, throw them in the bin. And if you've got that in your dressing room, you're on a winner straight away. But, you know, say, if you're uncertain what's going to happen, if you're not going to get paid at the end of the month or every week or whatever they do, you know, who's going to be attracting the top players from, you know, the so-called bigger clubs that want to send the players out? So it's just a shame. We just need clarity. We need people to say, right, what's happening? And lay it on the line so everybody knows and they can make a plan and move forward.
And do you think, Dylan, that the club has got a lack of identity at the moment?
Reading Football Club was always talked about. No, the players that they've produced, the academy. I mean, the academy's got its Cat 1 status again, which is fantastic. Which is fantastic. You know, what's the good of having an academy at Cat 1 level when, you know, you haven't got a football club that is run properly? You know, so its identity is about the owner. You know, that's as I can see it. And you know, maybe should phone me and, you know, I'll come down there and tell him, you know, exactly what this club means to the town, what this club means to the people of Reading Football Club, and, you know, become somebody that, you know, he understands, you know, where the football mentality of a Reading fan is. I know it won't happen, but, you know, I used to tell Sir John when I used to come down to the stadium and, you know, and hear Wood Smith and who was the other guy? Don Howe's son.
Nigel.
Sorry?
Nigel.
Nigel Howe, yeah. I used to tell him exactly what I thought, and, you know, whether they liked it or not, it was about the football club. You know, you need to do this in this executive suite, you need to do that. You know, you need to get players to come in and mingle, you know, and being invited by the football club. That's what I used to do. I didn't just go into the supporters' lounge. I didn't just go into the sponsors' lounge. I went in every box. I came into the crowd. I didn't sit in the box. I came into the crowd. I would go into the sports bar. I would go into the hotel bar. I would go into the directors' lounge. I would go into the sponsors' lounge. I would go into the supporters' lounge. I would go everywhere, you know, just to say hi, just to shake people's hands, just to, you know, make them, you know, some knew me, some didn't know me, you know. I think Kieran Sharman, I don't know if any of you guys know him, very, 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 very big Reading fan. You know, he's left Reading Football Club now. He had a box. He had a box for over 30 years at Elm Park. He had one of the little boxes. And he supported Reading Football Club through thick and thin. He's done. He's done. He's left. And that guy had money. That guy had money. And he's ploughed money into the football club. And as he was telling me, he said he gets nothing back from the football club. No respect, nor a letter, nor an email, nor a phone call. You know, but when it comes to renewing his season ticket, they're bang. You know, they're straight on him. You know, it's going to cost X amount. Are you going to take out sponsorship? Are you going to buy, you know, do this and do that? And, you know, that's a big loss for any football club. A very, very, very successful, loyal Royal, should I say, a massive Reading fan, and he's not going anymore. And like Marshall said, you lose your identity, you lose your fans. There's only one way for the football club to go, and that's, you know, unfortunately down.
And Johnny, I'll come back to you now. What do you think needs to happen? Is it a new owner? Is it something else? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the other side that's been forgotten about this as well, you know, the women's team has been destroyed. You know, now they've got relegated and players are going back to part time. They did so well the last 8-9 years to get into the Women's Premier League. Women's football was on the up, whether you know, traditional people like it or not, whatever. The Women's World Cup's on at the minute, and that's a huge thing for women's football and for Reading. You know, we've been a big leading part in that. The owner is, what do we say? We can keep going on about, you know, we don't hear anything from him. It's toxic. It's not going to change. We need different, but then the rumours I hear, this new, some American consortium that coming in are as dodgy as he is. You know, it's sad. It's sad to see what's going on. I don't hold out much hope for the future of the club at the minute until we hear something. All we're hearing is rumours. Rumours create anxiety. People worry. Fans think, you know, Dylan's the next player. All of us as fans, we're sitting there going, we're worried about the future of our club. We're not hearing anything. No one in the club has got the decency or the balls to stand up, Mark Bowen, whoever, to say, yeah, I'll stand out and say this is what's going on. We owe you that respect as fans to say this is what's going on. We ain't stupid. We all go on the EFL embargo site every day and sell HRMC 17 about not paying the tax man. Like, come on, show us some respect. We support you as fans. You support us as an owner of a club or people. You know, that's all we ask for.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a few of the points you made there, Johnny, we're all fans. It's our club.
Yeah.
Managers, players, obviously there's, we've got Dylan on tonight. We've all got our favourite players.
Yeah.
In legends, the likes of Michael Jilks, you know, the 106 team, Steve Coppell. But managers and players and owners come and go, you know, with the exception of the likes of Roger Smee and Sir John Medeski, who did so much for the club. But the owners, the last few owners have been temporary. They've been kind of temporary custodians of the club. But
we don't identify with them, do we, Mark? They're not our people. They're not our local people that...
Club belongs to the fans. That's what makes a club is the fans. And yes, an owner comes in and puts money in, great. But Union, come back to you now. We had some, you know, difficult times, and some of the football wasn't great at times going back years. But we've had some good times as well. You know, looking ahead now, the state of the club as it is. Are you anxious? Are you nervous? Is it, I think also, because it's our club, because we're fans, it means a lot to us. So, you know, it we're part of that community. And when that community breaks down, as it is with the club, yeah, it's not a good feeling. I mean, how are you feeling as a fan at the moment?
Well, I mean, I'm positive it's a new season, and it's a long time since we've been in this league, and the last time we won this league was Dylan's time, and that was a great season. If we, you know, going into this season, we're going to have a tight squad. Like, there was only 22 players used that season, and, you know, I've got this book here, David Downs. It's signed by David Downs. I got it in Oxfam, unbelievably, but but, you know, 22 players, two lone players, Tony Witter, and I can't remember Jay Humphrey. He played at number two.
John Humphrey, it's Palace.
I went to almost every game that season. But, you know, I was going to ask Dylan, like, a tight squad like that, that's what we got this season. And, like, watching the Swansea game, I couldn't get to it. I watched on TV, and... Yeah, Alex, you'll be able to say more about what the play was, because Yaedam came off early doors, and then Carroll came off at half time, I think. And then the reason being, they were getting used to the style of play. They're getting used to the, you know, where, I mean, my God, really, if players are unfamiliar, Dylan, you'll be able to tell us what the tactics you'd be going forward with at the moment with a tight squad. But I'd be saying, you know, keep it simple. 4-4-2 or whatever. I'm complete amateur, but, you know, from a playing point of view, you know, Peterborough, we should be beating them. Even with a tight squad, we've got quality players. One of the trial players that came on looked like a Jamie Lambert, like really exciting. And Alex, you'll be able to say, because I didn't pick up on who he was, but we've got to get the money sorted out, and then it will be positive. If that doesn't get work, it's obvious. Are we going to play on Saturday is another question, because looking at the website, there's some blank play, you know, Charlie Savage and, yeah, the guy Wing, you know, they haven't even got their picture on there yet, because obviously they're not registered, or they could be deregistered. So, but if you, Dylan, if you were coming on and you were managing, you would probably not be taking Andy Carroll off or... Yaedam, because you would know what their strengths are and you'd be playing to their strengths rather than trying to change things going into this league, which is a worry. Three managers we've had, Paunovic and before him Gomez, and now we've got Sellers. And it, you know, we've always been a bit anxious about managers, and Mark McGee was one when he first came on, and he had quite a while before he kind of started, you know, getting it going. And that what clicked there was Colin Lee, wasn't it, and the team and everything that happened that brilliant season. But yeah, anxious is the word, but you know, if we can get it sorted, a press conference would be nice with the people who are responsible, who are going, presenting things to the HMRC, presenting things to the EFL, protesting against the EFL, because they've got a part to play, haven't they? A big part, and regulation coming into, you know, because the fair play and Robbie Savage, he's got a word to say, hasn't he? And there's other Reading fans, obviously, very good spokespeople to put forward that Di Young has put a hell of a lot of money, and John Medeski has said that as well. But come on, you know, we've got to respect the guy for everything he's done for us so far. And going forward, we've got to work with him because, as Alex has said, if it, you know, you can't just get rid of him because we're indebted to him. Not that we own the money, it's just that he'll want to get that value back.
Yeah, and Dylan, come to you now, and then come to Alex again to talk about the game against Swansea. Dylan, if you were coming into this situation, so if it was you instead of Ruben Selles, and you know about the problems with the club, you know about the transfer embargo, you've only got a few new players. There's this talk that, you know, of those four new players, you know, one or more of them might be deregistered. You might have a wafer thin squad. You might have to put in players from the under 23s or the under 21s or whatever. How would you approach this as a manager?
Well, I've done it five times in South Africa, and worse things that have happened than a transfer embargo and, you know, the money situation. That's been my life for you know, most of my coaching career in Tanzania, Kenya, and even in Vietnam. You know, so it's something I'm used to. But if you're coming into that club, first thing you've got to do is, you know, you've got to make sure your players are ready to play. You know, that's like I said, you know, you come into training, you don't want this cloud hanging over your head to see players coming in with the head down, the shoulders dropped. You know, you want them bouncing. You need them all saying, right, you know, we're gonna train today, we're gonna work today. Because we've got a job to do for this football club, and for the, like you said, the most important people is the fans. You know, Union reeled off the last three managers, all foreigners. You know, it's you know, and then Mark McGee was a big gamble for Sir John at the time, and it worked. It worked. You know, Chris Wilder. I don't know what happened with Chris Wilder.
Dylan, sorry to interrupt. We haven't mentioned Paul Ince, obviously. You know, maybe there's a reason why Union didn't mention Paul Ince, but, you know, it just hasn't worked, does it?
No, like I say, whenever you go to a football club, as a player, as a coach, as a supporter, you know, you go in there to give your best. And that's as long as the people that see that you're doing your best, that's all they can ask for. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then, you know, the end of it, you pay for your job. But when the things are happening now with Reading Football Club, you know, there's nothing good to speak about Reading Football Club. You know, it's every social media that's posted, it's about the chairman. You know, and I don't think it's nice because he still is the chairman, he still is the owner. But he's got to give the fans and the club some hope. He's got to give them some, you know, options that there is a club worth fighting for. There is a club worth selling to an American, to a Saudi-based consortium, whoever it is. You know, that club, that Reading Football Club, is one of the biggest in the country. What a stadium. What a catchment area for football. And on Saturday, when they play, is it Peterborough, did you say, Union? I mean, my agent's been to see Peterborough. He lives in Peterborough. He says they're on fire. He says the pre-season that they've had, he says they've been, you know, he thinks they're going to be, you know, up there towards the end of the season. Pre-season's about getting the players right, getting the players ready for the first game of the season. Whether you win, lose or draw, it's finding the right balance, finding the right dimensions, finding the right formation, and finding the best players to play that first game against Peterborough. Unfortunately, I can't come to that game. You know, I've committed to go to Barnsley. But I'll be there in spirit with the rest of the fans, and I'll be checking, you know, the scores at half time and at full time. I'm not one of these that, you know, try and keep my phone on the scores all the time, you know. So I just want them to start the season off as good as they can, and that means keep a clean sheet and don't lose the game. You know, you get a point, the way things are happening, you'd be happy. 3 points, brilliant. I mean, that'll give everybody a big confidence boost. But who's registered, who's not registered, who can he select? Can he trust the younger boys to go in there against a very, very organised, a very, very good Peterborough side, who were unfortunate to lose last year in the semi-final or wherever it were, the playoffs? You know, we as supporters, you know, we just want the best of the football club.
And Alex, I come to you now. I'd like you to sort of give your view of the game on Saturday against Swansea. You know, what your thoughts were. Was it as bad as the scoreline suggests? Were there any positives? Did you see any of the players involved who looked good? But also, after you've talked about that, just want to get your thoughts on the first game of the season against Peterborough. I think a lot of Reading fans are worried about how this might go. But talk about the game against Swansea first.
I mean, it started off well. We had a fair amount of possession. When Andy Carroll was on the pitch, we were doing the whole hoof it up to Carroll thing from the keeper, which was a little bit disappointing to see. But with Andy Carroll on the pitch, that's what you're going to do. Aziz looked good on the ball, but he seems like he lacks confidence to shoot. But he did look good on the ball. But there were certain... There were certain times where passes weren't made. Guinness Walker, Tom Holmes, and it was quite an eye opener to what the season could potentially be like.
And then looking ahead to Saturday's game, are you worried? You know what we saw. Okay, it's a friendly, and you don't worry too much about the scores. It's in some ways it's more about the performance, but it was kind of everything. It, you know, it wasn't great, was it? So looking ahead to Saturday, the problems Reading have got, possibly we just haven't got anywhere near enough decent players. And say that with all due respect of whoever might line up, the 11 that starts the season. You know, against, as Dylan said, a good Peterborough side. Are you worried, Alex, that it could go badly wrong on Saturday?
Yeah, we lacked a striker, which was very bad, obviously, when we heard the news about Sam Smith and his long-term injury. But we did lack a striker since the likes of Jow and stuff have obviously left. I did feel that we lacked someone that could put the ball in the net. And, as you know, the old man's a massive Reading fan as well. And he told me, it's only friendlies, it doesn't matter, but I don't really see how it's going to be any different. But I'm excited for the start of the season. I want to get behind them. The kids are moaning because I'm forcing them to go. So
You're not forcing them too much. I know enough about your children to know that they want to go rather than being forced. But perhaps that's... highlights how bad it is. And Johnny, you know, come back to you now. I've got a feeling I know what your answer is going to be to this next question, but you know, how are you feeling ahead of Saturday, first game of the season? And it would be bad enough if we had these problems, you know, like a month ago, but we're literally a few days away from the first game. Dylan said Peterborough have prepared really well for the season. You can't say that about Reading. Are you concerned for Saturday? And how concerned are you?
Of course, concerned. But all I can hope for the best. Like, you know, the problem is we haven't got any new defenders in since last season. Our defence has been woeful for years. And it's not a pop at any of the players that play in our defence. You know, Tom Holmes, Tom Mack, Yeardom, Guinness Walker. We needed to improve that. And it hasn't happened because we've not been able to do it. So all we can hope is that let's get behind the team. We have to get behind the team. What other options? We can't flag the team off for 90 minutes. Let's go out there and back them. You know, give us a briefer a chance, right back. Maybe you don't play centre back. Do something different. We've got, hopefully, Savage will play. Hopefully, Wing will play. Unfortunately, Sam Smith's out. We have to be the people that give the enthusiasm and the positivity to the team, because the club's a mess. So we need to back these guys. If it's young lads, under 21s, just back them to rafters. It doesn't matter if we lose on Saturday. We lost a game against Plymouth back in 2005. I think we did it right that season. So, like, it's not the be-all and end-all of life we're losing Saturday. It's about our club being alive and staying up and keeping us focused on what we're doing and giving people belief in that team that, go on, lads, go out there and, like Noel Hunt says, he says, go out and express yourselves, go out and show what you can do. We've got some really good academy players in this club. If they play on Saturday, if they make a mistake, back them, go for it, come on. You know,
I think, Johnny, you've touched on something there that I think could be a really good idea and might even catch on, because there's been talk over the summer about what the Reading song should be. You mentioned they're staying alive, you know, staying alive. Maybe that's the new theme song, because we all want that. You know, we don't want to be in this situation where it's all doom and gloom. We obviously, our main aim is that we've got a club to support. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go down the line, starting with you, Eunan. Can I have a prediction for Saturday for the scoreline? And can I have a prediction for how you think Reading are going to do this season?
Yeah, it's a long shot. Saturday, I'm going to be positive, obviously, because you've got to be. And I think it will be 2-1 to Reading. And we'll fight as usual. I think goalkeeper-wise, it's going to be Bissanis, is it? And pretty decent, I think. And, you know, on from there, just build from the defence and get behind, especially the younger people putting a lot of responsibility on Tom Holmes. And it's always disappointing. And, you know, that was a highlight of, unfortunately, a highlight of the season. The son's, you know, the manager's son booting the ball. I don't know if you've ever seen that in football, Dylan, in professional game, where our key player is getting so frustrated with a young professional. So I'm glad that's, you know, we can put a line under that sort of stuff. And yeah, 2-1 on Saturday. And I'm going to go for playoffs. You know, it's got to be, as long as you get the money thing sorted out, there is no reason that we can't be. I mean, it's a good league as well, because there's an awful lot of clubs in there that have been in the Championship or in the same position as us, wanting to get back there as soon as possible. So it's good. It's getting that, you know, the manager to get that fight instilled in the younger players and not to be too hot. As Johnny says, you know, we're rooting for them all.
And Alex, I come to you now. I mean, we haven't really even talked that much about the manager. So, you know, let's have some thoughts from you as a Reading fan about our new manager, Ruben Sellers. What do you think? And then I'm going to ask you for your predictions.
I mean, I hope it goes okay for him, because like we said earlier, he's took on a massive, massive task that a lot of people would just turn away. And I actually spoke to him at the weekend, and he did seem quite positive. And he was saying that he's going to do his best. He's planning to stay at the club for a while, but he seemed quite like quite a nice chap, to be fair.
And then, what about your prediction? So, prediction for the game on Saturday, and prediction for how Reading are going to do this season.
I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. Going to get Dylan Kerr as the manager about 6 games in. We're going to get promoted and win the Papa John's Cup as well.
All right, Dylan, over to you. First of all, before you give your predictions, give us your thoughts about Ruben Sellers as a manager, from what you know.
I actually don't. That's the thing. I know he's at Southampton, and it didn't work for him there with the Premier League squad and the Premier League team. So hopefully he's learnt, you know, in that short space of time that he's in charge. You know, his shortcomings, and he's learnt from it. And he like Athalic says, that he's positive and he thinks he's going to be there for a long, long time. That's good. So that's a positive thing that You know, he, obviously he's not going to come out and, you know, and say, well, it's all we're crap, we're going down. Positive. So, you know, you just wish him all the best because, like I said, you know, you and Johnny are nice and yourself, Mark, we're all Reading fans, you know. I don't know what the result's going to be on Saturday. You know, there's, as I said, there's been nothing in the press, you know, mentioning Reading. They're going to win, they're going to lose, they're going to draw. It's like Reading don't exist anymore. It's really weird. Even the social media, you know, you used to get, I'm on like 6 or 7 groups of Reading fans. And like I said, all the messages they keep posting, it's the good old days in Elm Park. You know, somebody posted a song about being at Elm Park and a few of us got a mention, which was nice. But I don't know, Mark. I don't know. But before you think, I must say this, right? We all know what happened to Xhaka. We all saw the incident what happened to Xhaka. And I have spoken to Xhaka, so he is in good hands. He's going to get a health check. But I sent him a voice note and I says, by the way, you went down like you did when Wolves scored against us at Wolves. And he said to me, he says, I'm not supposed to be laughing, but I couldn't stop laughing. The nurses told me to stop laughing. And I cracked up. And
yeah, no, our best wishes to Xhaka. There you go. And Dylan, look how... you know, we all know that you'd like to see Reading do well this season, but given all the problems they've got, how do you think Reading will get on this season?
No, they've got to. Like I said, you know, Newland's saying playoffs. Why not go? Listen, everybody's against you. The bookies are going to be against you. You know, the EFL's against you. The taxman against you. You've got an owner that doesn't know whether he wants to stay at the club, sell the club, get the club out of the shit that they're in. Sorry for swearing. Just sellers is just because they're right. Listen, guys, fuck it. Let's just go for it. You know, we've got nothing to lose. Everybody's losing for us. Everybody's expecting the worst to come from Reading. So fuck them. Let's just go for it. Sorry for swearing.
That sounds like the team talk before Saturday's game.
We got to 50 odd minutes from Dylan Spare 3 times in 10 seconds.
He's been very polite, and now there you go. That's Dylan for you. So apologies to anyone who was offended. I don't think there was anyone. No. But we don't have to do a warning at the start. We just say, yeah, Dylan's on this episode. So that's what we mean. But no, thanks for that, Dylan. Johnny, coming to you now. A word about the manager. What are your thoughts? Is he the right type of manager? And then your predictions.
Ah, look, best of luck to him. I hope he can do what he can with the team that he's got. It's obviously a team that or a squad that he hasn't picked. He's promised things that haven't happened. I'm behind him. Like, what other choice do you have? I hope he does well. I hope he can do what we can. Be realistic. Keep the team afloat. Give the players a chance. Give the young players a chance. There's some diamond players in that club. You get a guy like Charlie Savage wanting to join Reading, despite all the mess that we're in. You know, his dad was Dad loves the club. You know, he said when, you know, he got a big send-off from the Reading fans. So that's a real positive, you know, for a young lad like that, from Man United to come to Reading in our circumstances. Brilliant. You know, he's 20 years of age. He's going to not be, you know, a finished article. So let these lads develop. Give them a chance. We're in a club in transition. We have to go and build and get better. That's exciting. Like, it's back to 98, 99 when we went to Majeski after Elm Park. Grant Brebner joined, Massar joined. Okay, I rest my case. But, you know, it's a chance for us to grow again, do different, be different, and look forward. And let's see what happens. And we could be negative about all the other stuff. But what matters to fans is what happens on the pitch. We want to get behind the team and have some belief. Give them a go. Come on.
What's going to happen on the pitch on Saturday, Johnny? And what's your prediction for?
We're going to win 19-0. I'm going to probably wake up in the local hospital. it's a first home game of the season. Let's, you know, there's a protest going on. I think they're going to do the, you know, at the 19th minute, whatever it is. 18th minute, sorry, in the 71st minute, I don't know, about the owners. Forget that. Rest of the time, get behind the players, build them up, keep positive, make a mistake, get behind them. They're young guys trying to make their way in football. If we get behind them and people turn up on the day and support them, what else can we do? That's our club. That's our future. That's the players' future. It's fans that matter. It's the team that matters. Forget the owners. And we're going to win 2-1. Oh, Jesus.
All right. And Johnny, you talked about Robbie Savage there. And I think it was Alex who said that he reckons Dylan Kerr will be the manager after six games. What about Dylan Kerr and Robbie Savage taking charge? That'd be good.
It's a battle of a hairstyle, isn't it, really? Let's be honest. Like, we haven't got any hair marks, but them two would be like, you know, it's like, oh, lads, who's got the best hair, Robin Savage or Dylan Kerr? It's a tough choice.
Yeah, and Noonan, I'm going to come back to you because I asked you for your predictions. And Johnny, have you, like, what are your thoughts about, before I do that, what are your thoughts about how Reading are going to do? Are you predicting playoffs? What are your thoughts?
I just want the club to still be here at the end of the season, Mark, to be honest. That's me being completely honest. I just want our club to exist. Wherever we end up at the end of the season, I don't really care at the minute. Last season was a different season. We got relegated. We hope to stay up. Now that, you know, the truth's coming out about the owner and what's going on, he's lost interest. Our club existence, we've been in Division 3, Division 4 in the old days. I just want us still to be here in the future for my kids, anyone else's kids. It's my club, your club, anyone else's club. I don't want us to be out of existence.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And Eunan, I think out of all of us, you've probably supported Reading for the longest. Going back to, I think your first game was late 70s, was it? Something like that?
Yeah, I think 78, yeah.
You saw, did you see Steve Deff and Robin Friday play?
I didn't. I knew of Robin Friday because of the Evening Post reporting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was too young probably to go there at that time. But yeah, from memory, it was a pre-season game. Brighton was my first game. And yeah, possibly the season before. But, you know, your memory goes a little bit hazy before then when you're that young.
Well, but, I can remember you and I being part of the winning Reading College team, won the Berkshire Under-19s trophy. I can remember that far back. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, just about remember that one.
Yeah, but
you remind me enough.
Look, Ruben Sellers, what are your thoughts, Eunan, finally on him?
Yeah, as Dylan says, you know, and Dylan says about people who get rewarded, but that was his first chance. And I was doing a bit of research about Chris Wilder and Higginbottom, I think that's him. He was an interim manager and didn't get the job. And then someone else did. And now Higginbottom's brought Sheffield United all the way up. So Sellers was an interim manager kind of thing. Didn't quite work, but he's come to Reading now. So we've just got to get behind him and think, although the negative thing is that we've had two foreign managers as they were. This is our third foreign manager. Our English manager, Paul Ince, didn't work out. But, you know, Sellers, we're all searching for a Mourinho type or, you know, that kind of manager that comes in. But there's been plenty of managers that are obviously coming very successful. But at Reading, does that work? So we just got to get behind him. I think that, not that I know much about his background, he just seems an impressive type of person. And he's been at the Southampton, the Premiership. He's been, you know, facing the press every week. So he's going to have that experience, as Dylan says, that hopefully all that learning will really make him cope for the first six games until Dylan takes over, of course.
Well, listen, I'm going to just have my final say. I'm actually with Johnny on this. I mean, the main thing for me is that we survive as a club, whatever that looks like. You know, that's the main thing for me. So I'm fully with you, Johnny, on that one. I think for me, as long as we survive, as long as we stay in this division, we just need some stability as a club, whether that's a new owner, whatever it is. As for Saturday, I am worried. You know, Dylan talked about it. Peterborough, good side. I think we've potentially got a problem on Saturday. So even if it's a defeat, if we can see something, then we just want our club to still be our club at the end of the season. So I'm with Johnny on that. And yeah, as far as the manager goes, I don't know. We just want the club to be successful again at some point, ultimately. But I think it is about, you know, let's keep the club alive with the new theme tune, Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, or the other. There was another version, wasn't it? So maybe the other version as well. Yeah, just keep our fingers crossed. I think that's a worrying thing going into the start of the new season, but that's being a Reading fan at the moment. That's the reality of it. But look, just want to say thank you to all of you on possibly the last ever 1871 podcast episode. We don't know yet genuinely if there will be any more episodes. You know, there might be, and if there are, we'll let you know. But for now, at least, this is the last ever 1871 podcast episode. So just want to thank Eunan Carr, Alex Blissett, Johnny Hunt, and of course, Dylan Kermalord. Thank you all for joining us. And let's sort of start the season with a positive. Come on, you ours.
You ours.
You ours.
You ours.
You ours.
Staying alive. Staying alive. Staying alive.
You realise that's being left in, Johnny?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right.
I've got a great voice like Dylan.
Thanks, everyone. Appreciate that. Sports Social
Podcast Network. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.